Good evening, and I'm glad to be here. Sorry I was a little late. There was a big traffic accident in 401, so I'm glad to be here, alive, you know, it's good. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about boundaries today. When we talk about boundaries, what do you think of? I'd like to interact with my audience a little bit, if you don't mind, right? What do you think of when you think about boundaries? Limits, good. What else? Throw some words out. Rules, yeah. What else? Restriction? Order, okay. What else? Expectation, yeah. Go on. I'm sorry? Constraint, okay, good, okay. Safety, yes, yes. What kind of question might you have about boundaries with kids, teens? What kind of question might you have? No, we always save the question at the end. I usually like to ask them in front, you know, just so that I know, try to address some of them if I could. I know I can't answer everybody's question. I know that in a 1-hour workshop, you know. But what kind of question might you have about boundaries with teens? I'm sorry? Where's the balance? Finding the right balance in terms of that? Okay, good. What else? Who is responsible for what, right? Certain things. Okay, in terms of, give me an example of that. Okay, house chores, who's doing what? Okay. Couple more. What kind of question might you have about boundaries? Responsibilities? Say more. Okay, is that what the question? What's the question behind that? What would be, like, what are some of the responsibility? Is that what you're asking? For the teenagers, right? Okay, good. Okay, what else? One more questions. Okay, consequences. Okay, we'll be talking about that for sure, about consequences. Okay, so I'm going to get this thing going just a bit. All right, here we go. I'm going to skip the opening introduction just because of time. I want to save some time for questioning. I want to say a few words about just boundary in general first. A boundary is actually a very basic concept. It's everywhere. Do you agree? Boundaries is everywhere. Some of the things that you guys talked about, rules, limits. On my way driving here, I see lots of limits. 60 kilometers on a particular zone, 100 kilometers. I see rules. I see, you know, just everything, right? Boundaries is everywhere. It's all around us. So nothing new. Right? Boundaries is also very biblical. I don't know where you are coming from, okay? But if some of you are coming from a biblical background, actually, you know, boundaries are a very biblical concept. Where did you even first see the concept of boundaries in the Bible? For those of you who might know it. Where's the first place you see in the Bible? Garden of Eden, are you referring to the tree? Yeah, that's the first relational boundary. But actually, that's not the first boundary. What's the first boundary? Hint, Genesis 1:1. What's the first boundary? Time, not time yet. That's the what? Yeah, well, okay, yeah, that, but it's the separation, right? The light and, you know, all that stuff. It's all about boundaries. Whoever said about the Garden of Eden, the tree, that was the first relational boundary, right? That God has said, you know what? You can eat from anywhere except for this one tree. Boundaries is always about providing limits, but it's not about restriction, I don't think. I think it's about giving us the freedom, right? Even the Garden of Eden is about you can have everything here. You can eat from anywhere here except for this one. And it's for protection, for safety, for everything else, right? So boundaries, in my belief system, is not meant to limit people. It's actually for you to, it certainly have limitation, yeah, certainly have that. But freedom without limits isn't true freedom, okay? So boundary is a pretty important concept. And also boundaries are very necessary, especially when it comes to teenagers, right? Why do we need boundaries? Two reasons. One is for protection. Someone already mentioned it. It's for safety, for protection. You know, it's not a good idea to a teenager to say, I'll say till 2 a.m., even though I did when I was 14, but I'm not going to tell people about this. Not a greatest idea, right? So for protection for them, but also for us as parents too. Do you know what I mean by this? Protection for teenager, yes, but why also protection for parents? Anybody? I'm sorry?
Lower anxiety,
very good. It protects you. Actually, you're dead on there, right? It protects you as parents so that when you can put boundaries, it protects your own energy level, right? And let's say if you have no boundaries for your kids, they run around like crazy, they call you up at 5 a.m., 2 a.m., and you worry about them, and that's not enough energy. We're going to talk about energy later a little bit, okay? I find it is a very practical concept. I think life sucks our energy. Okay, it sucks. Our energy, day-to-day kind of work, relationships, parenting. We're going to talk a little bit about saving energy a bit later on. Okay, but another reason why I think it's really important is about development. We actually want to implement boundaries actually for the benefit of our kids. You probably heard this before, but boundaries is meant to help you to develop your teenager, develop their character, but also develop their adult skills. I'm hoping all of us here, including myself, that when we raise our kids, we're not going to raise them as children. We're going to raise them to be adults. We're going to provide them as much opportunity as we can to give them adult skills. I'll give you one example. The lesson of consequence. The lesson of consequence. If our kids do not learn this lesson, if they learn no consequence from their action, they'll be in big trouble when they go to the adult world. Right? When they go to work, when they are going to be late, when they slept in, right? I mean, parents might forgive them, right? But their boss certainly would not, right? If they have not learned those lessons, I think they were actually doing them a disservice, right? Boundaries is actually a very important concept, both developing their character, but also adult skills, all right? So I like to maybe just start with go through some key points. So this is my 8 simple rules for setting boundaries with your teens, with our teens, okay? I believe you have your notes, right? They all have their notes. Anybody doesn't have your handouts? Well, you might want to put up your hand, and then they'll be giving, yes. Yeah, okay, so we have a few here, a few here, a few there. So the handouts should be given, okay, thanks. I'd like to talk about the first point, but I wanted to show you a clip. How many of you seen this show called 8 Simple Rules of Dating My Teenager? And anybody? Nobody? Nobody seen this show? Oh. All right. I'd like to show you a clip. And then we'll talk about the first rule. I should give this setting. So this is a family, mom, dad, and 2 teenage girls. The oldest one, it's a little bit flirtatious. She dressed a bit more, wild kind of thing. The second one is a bit more proper kind of thing, okay? So just give you the setting. So the dad is always worrying about both of them. So here is a particular clip. Oops. All right. So what did you learn about this from this clip? About setting boundaries. What did you see? Just an observation. I'm not looking for anything in particular. Just what did you observe? What did you learn? Consistency. Say more about this. Right, right. Okay, so consistency is going to be important, right? In terms of boundaries. What else? What else did you notice? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. So the kids are always watching, right? They're also watching what the parents are doing. They're comparing, right? But the youngest always seems to get away with more, I think. I know I did. I'm the youngest, so I got away with a lot more. But sure, yeah, they do watch. Anything else? What did you notice about the parents? They're not what? Sorry? Right, right, exactly. They're not really completely on agreement here. They might have talked about it, but they didn't really stick with it. At least one of them didn't, kind of thing, right? So here is one of the first thing I want you to notice. Boundaries with teens. I really believe parents need to unite together and agree on the boundary first. They need to talk about it. They need to agree on it first. Just very much like, you know, what you just talked about. We have to talk about it. Parents need to be in communication. Boundaries cannot be so enforced with just one parent, assuming this is an intact family, right? Cannot be just with one of the parents. Had to be two. Now, it's okay for parents to disagree. I think, I don't always agree with my wife certainly doesn't always agree with me, right? It's okay to disagree in terms of exactly where the rules should lie, but really it's important for the two of you to talk about it, and then also come to some kind of compromise, both that you can feel like you're happy with, happy enough with. I honestly believe there are more than, for example, like the curfew. Honestly, if you are, say you're 16, not make a whole lot of difference with it. They come home at 12 or 11:30. To me, it's about the same. Okay, as long as both my wife and I are happy that we come to this conclusion together, and we both hold each other accountable to that time, then I think whether it's 15, 20 minutes, half an hour difference, it's not going to be a big of a deal. Generally, we want to get the couples to really get there on their own. Okay, to agree on this particular time. There's more than one way of doing things, obviously. Now, even though this is the very first point, it talks about boundaries with teens, I really believe without the marriage being more solid, the relationship between the husband and wife being more solid, actually I see more, and for my practice, I do a lot of counseling, I counsel a lot of marriages and family. One of the things I notice, when parents bring in their teenager to come and see me, for example, I would say, I'm not exaggerating, I would say close to 90% of the time, I always notice something is happening between the husband and wife. Something is not clicking for them. Yes, I mean, the teenagers certainly have some issues. That's why they do come. So obviously, they do have some things happening. But usually, that problem get really magnified because all the focus is on the teenager. Often, I say 90% of the time, I do notice there's something happening between the husband and the wife. And usually, when we actually work with the husband and the wife and help them to a bit more solid, so they can see things a bit more eye to eye, they feel they each understand the other person a bit more, they actually can resolve the issue with the teenager on their own, quite oftentimes. Okay? So that's what, from my experience, and many of my colleagues also have that same experience as well. So building this parental relationship is actually your really important point. How many of you heard of this this guy named John Gottman? Anybody heard of this author by the name of John Gottman? No? He is one of the foremost marital experts in the field. He does a lot. What I like about him is that he does a lot of evidence-based research. You know, lots of different authors who write books, okay? But they're based on theories, what they think it should be like, right? But this guy writes books based on facts. He does research. I'll give you one. And this has a lot more to do with marriages, okay? He studied 130 newlyweds, couple, over a course of, I think, 14 years. Okay? 10, 14 years. And he notes who stay married, who doesn't, who got divorced. And then he also have videotapes of them throughout weekends. They will invite couples to come to their lab. It's like apartment building. They will videotape them, and they have researchers to study those tapes. So one of the things they notice is that this is the part I might not like about them, is that they, you know, pretty prideful. They said, I can predict with a 93.9% accuracy based on watching a 5 minutes video clip of this couple. I can just watch a 5 minutes clip, I can predict with a 93.9% accuracy whether this couple will get a divorce or not. He says, one thing we notice is that if we see anything less than a ratio of 5 to 1, 5 positive affects exchanged between the couple. You know what I mean by affect, right? Emotion, positive feelings, I feel good about our connections, that types, okay? Anything less than 5 positive to 1 negative. He says the best is 20 to 1. But anything less than 5 to 1, he says I can predict. And he's pretty accurate too, okay, based on his research, that you have a 93.9% chance that you will get a divorce. Now, whether you believe the actual data or not, I think it has a lot of common sense, right? If you and your spouse do not sort of have those kind of connection, if we don't feel good about each other in that way, if we don't spend enough time to nurture the relationship, then most likely the marriages will be in trouble. And I can almost guarantee you as a counselor too, if your marriage is shaky, is in trouble, most likely your family, because your marriage is really the foundation, right, of your family, your kids is actually the stuff on top. You guys are the stuff on the bottom. If that's not solid, you know, the house will come tumbling down. We know that. We've seen that. Divorce rates right now in Canada is about 38%, from what I know, okay? And Christians is also around the same mark. We're not doing any better, just so that you know. I'm emphasizing this point, even though it's about marriage, but I'm not doing you a favor if I don't actually emphasize on this point about the marriage, okay? Because it's the foundation of everything else. Any question about this point? We're good? I love questions, so please interact with me. I don't have to finish all my points, but I love some interaction, okay? I'll move on to the next point. So after that, after you have talked about it, you should talk to your kids together. I really believe that the parents have to sort of be united and to talk to teens about the boundaries together as much as possible. So it shouldn't be like, well, this is what mom wants, or this is what dad wants, this is what we want. Okay, this is what dad and mom is expecting about the expectation. We need to present a united front. I tell you, kids are really good at playing you guys, or playing us. Okay, I mean, I got younger kids, but they're really good at playing us. They know one parent won't give it to them, they'll ask the other one. Okay, one rule in my family is this, and this is only our rule, and I really believe this, right? Boundaries, if you set them early, I don't know how old are your kids, but the earlier you do this kind of stuff, setting boundaries, the easier it gets. I don't mean it's easy, but it's easier. When trying to start this boundary setting, when they're older, it's a lot harder. I work with some families, it's hard. Okay, and some of the points later on, we're going to talk a bit about that. Okay, but the earlier you start them, the better. So one of the boundaries, rules I have with our kids, and both my wife and I agree, we tell our kids, if one of the parents, you ask us for things, let's say, can I play video games? If one of the parents says no, if you go to another parent and ask the same thing, you get punished. You actually don't get any video games at all for the whole weekend. So we want to teach them a rule about you don't play us. Okay, you can't play. That's just ours. You don't have to do the same thing. It works for us. So our kids doesn't do that. They know if one of the parents says no, that's no, right? And usually as parents, we try to talk. So one of the things I find is also helpful too is if things my wife and I haven't talked about, I always feel like I don't have to answer my kids right away. I can tell them, you know what, let daddy, mommy talk about this first, and then we'll get back to you. There's no rush for me. I don't feel like I need to tell them yes or no right away. So this way, my wife and I are always in contact. It's always this united front. It's never about what mom says, what dad says. It's always about what we both say. I find that it works for us, okay? But also, you know, be appropriate in terms of when you talk to them. I find that when you set boundaries with them, when you talk to them, you got to be the right timing, right place, and you have to know who is actually there. Generally, you want to talk to each kid on their own. Because I really believe, earlier we talked about consistency, right? I believe in consistency, but I also believe in flexibility, okay? Your boundaries with a 16-year-old should be very different than a boundary with a 12-year-old, right? If you use the same boundaries all throughout, I don't believe that's fair, and also it won't work, I find it. So it has to be, it does fluctuate a bit, it's flexible, but yet we need to see some consistency. So let's say one is 16-year-old has a boundary of, a curfew of, I don't know, 10 p.m. when he was 12, then most likely I'll keep the same kind of boundary with the other kid as much as I can. So with my own kids, I would keep that in mind, try to keep it very consistent, but I always also be flexible. I always look at each kid on their own as well, right? I think that's also fair. Each kid will earn things from me. Okay, if they are responsible, okay, they will also they earn some entitlement. They will get a little bit more flexibility coming from me. If they haven't earned it, even though they may be older, they don't get it. To me, that's adult skill. Do you see where I'm coming from? In the adult world, when you go to work, you don't simply get promotion because you get older, right? Do you? No. How do you get a promotion? How do you earn extra stuff? When you perform? When you have actually earned something. So to me, those are important adult skills that I want to pass on to my kids, right? It's not about performance-based, don't get me wrong. That's also the love-based. There's also some basic necessity, I get it. But also at the same time, I like to see each kid unique in that way. So there's some basic baseline, but then there's also show me what you can do. If you are responsible, you are given a bit more. It's actually biblical, Right? It's actually, think about the parable of the talents. Right? Why does the first servant have five, the other one has two, and the other one has one? Well, I think it's based on because one is a bit more responsible. The first two are actually quite responsible. They make the best of what they have, and they do well. Right? So I think it's important to do that. Any questions up to this point? When they're babies. You think about, you do it already. Don't just put a fence around the stairs, right? Those are boundaries. Boundaries are everywhere. When we set up fences on the staircases, we are telling our kids, our babies, don't go there. Or at least don't roll down the stairs, right? It's going to hurt. As they and we slowly build up the boundaries. A different kind of boundaries, more appropriate kind of boundaries. So we start boundaries as early as we can. Remember, boundaries are not just about this. The only focus is not about limiting them. It's actually providing freedom. Think about this. This is actually a perfect example. Let's say in my living room, there's stairs, right? If I don't put up fences, because if I think to myself, you know what, I'm just restricting them of the freedom, actually, I'm not doing them a favor, right, when they roll down the stairs. But when I put up the fence, they actually have so much freedom in the living room to roam around, to crawl, to play. That's safety, right? So that makes sense. Not too different when they're teenagers. You provide boundaries around, maybe not the literal fence, but maybe in the forms of curfew, perhaps who they can date, who they can, those kinds of stuff we will definitely talk about. Yeah, Jennifer? Next point. Oh, it was maybe not the next point, but the soon-to-be point. Okay, come back to that later. It's very good. I like that. I always like to get the teenagers' involvement in it. I'll tell you why later, but you probably know. Did you have a question? Sorry? No, somebody? No? Okay. Are we good so far? Okay. The next one. Sorry, not this one. So this is state expectation and rules ahead of time. So I believe any kind of rules, you should tell them ahead of time. Don't make up new rules as you go along. Okay? That's how I play games with my kids, right? I make up rules as I go along, but it doesn't work in setting boundaries. We try to set boundaries with them ahead of time. So that will also means parents need to be a bit more proactive, not to wait for things. You know, one of the things that get human beings in trouble, you know what that is? Majority of the time when I work with clients, if I was going to tell you one common theme that gets people in trouble, you know what that is? Is they are reactive. They become reactive. When people are reactive, you know what I mean by reactive? Something happened, you react. When you start to feel scared, you react. Either you hold on tighter or you run away. Fight, flight, right? Usually that's not helpful. And I tell you, in most situations, when I work with clients, whether it's marriage or whether it's some kind of phobia, anxiety, is that we being reactive, that's getting people in trouble. So what I usually try to help clients with is be proactive. To in order to be proactive, first of all, you got to be self-aware. You got to be aware about your strength, your weaknesses, and also become more proactive in terms of learning. In this scenario, yes, you probably have to read some books, talk to some people, attend some seminars to stay a bit ahead of the game, so to speak, to be proactive. About what are some of the teenagers, what they may be facing, some of the boundaries that I need to think about. Yeah, so you just require some work. But kids are our investment. Oh, by the way, do you know how much it costs to raise a baby all the way to a 17-year-old? Before college. This is not including college or university. Do you know how much it costs in Canada? They actually have a figure for this. Guess, how much? $500,000, wow, that's actually true. No, not true, that's actually too much. It's in the US, it's actually a lot more. In Canada, it's very close. Around there, it's about $166,000. That's how much it costs to raise a baby all the way to, like, the basic necessity, right? We're not talking about like a BMW or anything like that. But basic necessity from a baby to 17. In the US, it's a quarter of a million. You know why? Medical expense, right? Here we're a bit fortunate, medical expense is covered in the States. So if you're gonna spend that much money, invest on a kid And my guess is you might actually spend more, right? I don't know. This group might actually spend a bit more. You actually want to be a bit more proactive and not become reactive. Okay, so that's my encouragement to you. So your rule should be clear, should be age appropriate. So the rule that you set for a 12-year-old should be different from a 16-year-old, right? That makes sense. Even in terms of curfew, the time that they can come home, for example. But also be flexible. I mentioned this before, right? Should be flexible. In terms of if a particular child is a bit more mature, responsible, I tell them ahead of time, you can learn things from me. When you do that, I'll give you a little bit more leeway. But if you're constantly not following through with what you promised, then you haven't earned anything from me, right? So to me, that's flexibility. But also got to have consequences. Earlier, you sort of someone was asking about consequences. We're going to say a little bit more about consequence later. But without consequence, I would actually tell you this. If you don't plan to enforce the consequence, you're actually better off not to set any rule. I tell you the truth. If you actually don't plan to enforce any consequences, you're actually better off as parents not to give any rules. You will have a better relationship with them. They actually may have a better chance to grow up better. Okay? Because what happens when you don't have consequence? What do you think one thing they will learn growing up, your teenager? If your teenager grew up, you tell them, you know what, don't do this or else, but then you never carry out the or else, what do you think they learned? They're learning something. They're always learning something from you. Guaranteed. They don't trust you? Say more about this. That's right. Your word, in other words, is your word means nothing. Right? Your words are nothing. I don't have to listen to you. Why would I be listening to you? Right? So that's one thing they will learn. What's another thing they will learn? They can break the rules. Now, what if they take that with them as they grow up? Laws, or when they go to work, in our generation, not our generation, but the generation just before us, we call this the generation, the generation of entitlement. A lot of our, I work with some folks that I would say right now they're the mid-20, they're the age of entitlement. I don't know how old your kids are, so maybe I don't think that's your kids, but I work with some parents who are a bit older, and their kids feel like they're entitled to things, which they haven't earned. It makes sense, because a lot of, my parents' generation, they are, actually not my parents, that's not even the right age, but their parents actually have worked so hard to earn, and they want to provide so much for the kids. Right, and they actually don't enforce a lot of restrictions, and the kids grew up to feeling a sense of entitlement. Now we've seen that. We've seen the result of that. My wife is a manager. I won't tell you where she works, but she's a manager and where she works. She says, "I'm so afraid to hire people with that age group, because every time they hire some people, they come in after about 3 months, they want to be the manager." They do. They ask for what they said. "No, I want to be the manager," and they demand it. It's that sense of entitlement. Now, if we continue this route in terms of with our own kids, right? I most likely that's what they will learn. Okay, it makes sense. They learn things from us. So got to have consequence, right? If you are 14-year-old, so this is an example of how perhaps we can be clear. For example, if I talk to a 14-year-old, I would say, "Well, maybe your curfew is 10 p.m." On Saturday night, that means you need to be inside the house by that time, okay? But if you call me ahead, and this is where I'm becoming a bit flexible, okay? If you call me ahead, I might give you a 10 minutes grace. So I want to show them that, if you are at least accountable, responsible, if you're going to be a bit late, you call ahead, I'll give you that 10 minutes grace. But more or less, it's 10 p.m., okay? And then, if you stick with the agreed time, right? If you're consistent in always following this rule, you will earn your way, when you're 15-year-old, you'll earn your way to more time, whatever that time is. Half an hour more, whatever it is, right? You have earned things from me. But otherwise, you will lose. You will lose things. It's always consequence. You will lose the privilege of going out the following week. So you're grounded for the following week. That will be an example of it. I mean, there's variation of it, right? But that, to me, that will be very clear. that will be consistent, I think, and that's age-appropriate and flexible and have consequence. It's not, the consequence is more than just saying it. You actually have to carry it out. Later on, we're going to talk about some of the obstacles for parents of carrying out consequence. Trust me, I have worked with a lot of families. Parents, sometimes they are so afraid to enforce consequences. Okay, so we're going to say a bit more about this later. This is the one that Jennifer was asking about. Give your teens a voice. Okay, I find it as you set boundaries with them, you want to be able to give them a voice as well. What I mean by give them a voice is that help them to input. Okay? But don't forget, you're still the parents. You still decide between you and your wife or you and your husband. You guys are the one deciding what's the appropriate limit or rule, whatever that boundary is. But the thing is, you want to give them a voice. Ask them for some opinion. What do you think that is? How do you see? What do you think might should happen? You know, if you break the rule. I mean, my kids are actually a little younger. I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old who's soon to be a teenager. Even now, I asked them, okay, so if you break this rule, what would you think should happen to you? Of course, at first they would say, maybe nothing. I say, yeah, well, nice try. Well, something will happen. I'll say, I can settle if you like. I'm very happy. I'll tell my son, I'm very happy to set rules. I'm very happy to set punishment for you if you like. But if you can give me some input, I might listen to it. So, of course, we'll negotiate a bit. So as we negotiate, actually, I'm also teaching them another skill, another adult skill. This adult skill is called negotiation, right? Nothing wrong with that. I don't mind my kids negotiating with me. It's actually, it teaches them social skills. It teaches them about how, when they become adults, they need to learn how to negotiate, right? In the workforce, with their relationships, they have to learn how to do that well. So I don't mind doing that as I interact with them in those ways. So I will invite them to participate in setting boundaries. Two benefits from it, okay? One is you secure their cooperation. So when they have a voice, when they're the one who actually set the, at least part of the punishment or the consequence, they tend to follow a bit better. I noticed that with my kids. If I get them involved in it, they tend to follow a bit better. They remember a bit more. Actually, my son would actually tell my daughter to say, stop doing that. We're going to get punished, So I actually have another enforcer that does that. But also, I find that when they have a voice in things, not only do they learn about negotiation, but they also learn more about confidence. You know what I mean by confidence? They actually, because they have a voice, their voice are being heard. Their voice are valued. It doesn't mean I listen to everything they said. No. Even in the workforce, you're not going to always get everything you want. Right? But at least when you're being listened to, when your voice are being validated, that's where you feel confidence, that your voice counts. In some families that I work with, they grow up in families that their voice don't count. It means nothing. They're not being listened to. And part of it would affect their self-esteem as they grow up. Okay? So that's a possible benefit. I will try my best to incorporate as many of the reasonable suggestions from them as possible, but it doesn't mean I'll listen to everything. Always come back to what my wife and I want. Always. We'll talk about it. Sometimes we'll tell, after we listen to them, my kids, for suggestions, and I says, okay, daddy and mommy needs to talk now. We'll come back to you. Okay, so my wife and I will talk, but generally I'm pretty sure we have a pretty good idea what we want to do already. But it's about the formality going through, making sure we both agreed. Because I need my wife to be on board. And my wife need me to be on board first. Like going back to point one and two. Any questions up to this point? Yes.
You just now mentioned about negotiation. So what's the difference between the normal negotiation and manipulating the negotiation by pushing a boundary?
For them, you mean?
Yeah.
So, well, that's part of, I expect that. In fact, I think I want that. Yeah, I do. Because I want them to also learn about how not to do that. I want them to show them when you manipulate me, at least I think I'm smarter than them for now, so I can catch them when they are doing that, and I'll teach them, hey, that's not fair. When you negotiate in this way, that actually isn't proper. Actually, I don't buy into that. You actually get less from me if you do. So what I'm trying to teach them is that way of negotiating is not fair, which I want to teach them that skill. because I certainly don't want them to carry that into their relationships with their future boyfriend, girlfriend, or in the workforce, right? So they can certainly do those things. You know, think about your family time, your family as they grew up. Those are the training ground. We are training them. My job, I think, as a parent, is to train them to become adults. So this is the training ground. So I'll give them the opportunity to make mistakes, right? Hopefully not big ones, things that I can live with kind of thing. But I don't mind them doing that a bit, but I'm going to try to work with them. Now, as they try to keep pushing in the wrong way, then after a few warnings, then I would, once again, I'll set the consequence. But I'll state that ahead of time. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So one of the things that I would need to communicate now, I'm going to say this again later, very important. One of the main things that as parents of teenagers we have to learn is that we need to be able to tolerate our kids do not like us at this point. As we set boundaries. Our kids will not like our boundaries. They will compare, they will do a lot of things, right? They would manipulate, they would try to say, well, so one of the things we have to accept first is that there'll be points that they will not like us because of the rule. I fully accept that. I know that's gonna happen. I certainly did not like it when my parents gave me rules, even though I think my rules were quite flexible, I think, now that I think about it. But yeah, so that's the first thing I would want to say first. So as I talk to the teenagers in that, I would say, well, that's true. I mean, so-and-so might have different rules, but they also have different background. I'll try to, at first, I would be reasonable to explain to them about the differences. They might get more here, but you also get more here in my home, right? You get different things from different homes, right? So yeah, in terms of that, they have more, but here you have more, right? So I want to give them some very legitimate differences between the two. But all it comes down to, though, I always tell them, well, but you are living at this house, so this is the rules that you have to follow. Yeah, after a while, if I notice that they're not being reasonable, if they just want to get their way and manipulate, right, then I don't want to waste any more energy to negotiate. To me, that's not about negotiating anymore. That's about me accepting the fact that they don't like my rules. Majority of the time, I'm okay with that. Does that make sense? Yeah, say more. If there's some more interaction you like. Mm. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Some practical ways of getting them to be on board. What I have to offer are nothing profound. It's just simply, I think, really good listening. I want, most of the time when I talk to people, clients, that I talk, whether they're teenager, adult, oftentimes when they come in with stories, content, the stuff on top. Then the 1,001 different stories. Mom didn't give me this, dad didn't give me this curfew, right? Different stories that they complain about. But what's underneath it is always the same thing, the underneath feeling. I want to know how they feel about the particular situation. Perhaps they might feel being unfair. They feel like when they compare to their friends, somehow they get gypped, right? Somehow something wasn't fair about it. I would actually want to talk more about the unfairness rather than the stuff on top. So I want to listen more to their sense of unfairness. So I would from there, I would talk about, so maybe in that point, like I said, maybe certain things you don't get everything you want, like compared to your friends, but do you also think you might get a bit more different things from this home? That might be a bit more fair. So I'm trying to balance the ledger a little bit. So that's where I want to focus on, because I don't want to chase the different stories. I think those stories will be no win for us. Because definitely you have different rules than the other families. To me, I'm not into competing with them. I try to convince them that I'm not even interested in convincing my kids by that point to be on board. They just need to do it. That's right. That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. So one of the things that this lady was mentioned, I think is a really good point. I want to make sure that my home is a safe one. I don't mean just physically, but emotionally. My kids can come and talk to me about things. That's how we create our families to be. We can talk about different things that they will feel being listened to, right? Being listened to doesn't mean you always get what you want, right? I want to make sure they feel validated, they're being heard, that they're valuable, all those things that, you know, basic stuff that we want the relationship to be. At the same time, I recognize I cannot compete with every different families out there because they all have different rules. Some family have no rules. You can't compete with that. I mean, I don't want to compete with that. It's not what I want. And so on one hand, I'm going to be prepared that my kids will not like that aspect. They might actually don't like it when I do that. I accept part of that. But the other part, like this lady was saying, is that I want to make sure that they also have other benefits for staying in this family. They feel close. They feel loved. They feel secure. I honestly, from what I've observed working with clients or family, most of them can get past that stage. What you think about you growing up? I mean, you know, you probably have some rules too, right? Most of us probably didn't like the rules, but we do it. We get past it, most of us, right? Hopefully because we also have other benefits from this particular household, feeling other kind of loved and relationships. Yeah, okay? Yeah. If you have more details, questions, specific questions, please come back. We'll talk more. Let's move on. Oh, okay. So this is where I think will be important to highlight. Like I said, the younger they are, the more boundaries you can have. But as they get older, or if you have not started this process of setting boundaries, you probably cannot have too many boundaries. I have to be honest with you. I'll give you one example. I'm working with a family right now. They're not from the Chinese culture background, but some Middle Eastern. Okay, let's say they're Middle East, and so families are very well to do. The dad is a doctor, mom's a stay-at-home mom, two girls, teenagers, 16. They're twins actually. So they're 16, and but they never have much rules. They don't set too much boundaries. Okay, one of the reasons why is because the dad really loves them to death, kind of thing, and so spoiled them. And now they actually don't like the dad very much. They don't listen to the dad. And the dad is like, you know, getting upset because, you know, not feeling the love is being reciprocated. And so when we were talking about this, when they would come to my office, we were saying, you know what, at this stage, when you haven't set up too many boundaries, don't try to fight about everything. They try to fight about, like, cleaning up the room, studying hard, taking care of the car, don't go to parties. You know, they try to establish a lot of rules. My suggestion to them is actually don't. Not suddenly start to, you know, have 10 different battles. You actually have to start to pick a few battles. Pick the key ones. Pick the key ones that you want to fight. Reason why you can't fight with them about everything. One is that your energy is limited. Remember earlier we talked about every one of us, we have only so much energy. We have work, we have home to take care of, we have our spouse, we just a whole bunch of stuff. Energy is limited. If you fight about everything with your teens, you're gonna run out of energy so quickly. They can wear you down, right? They can wear you down really fast. In fact, that's one of the obstacles of why parents do not carry through their consequences, because they got worn down. Okay? Another common thing that I've seen in my office, in the counseling office, people also get in trouble a lot of times is because they run out of energy. Right? They run out of energy so they can fight their temptations. They run out of energy so that they don't have energy to work in their relationships. Okay, you name it, okay? So that's another common thing I've seen. So taking care of yourself, having good self-care, have good energy is going to be very important. One other thing is you need to pick only a few battles. Okay? Another reason is that you will lose focus on what is going well in the relationship. Imagine if you fight about everything that's not going well, okay, in your relationship with your teen. Everything. They're not cleaning up their room, they're not being responsible, right? We have a whole bunch of things that what is not going well. If that's all you fight about, If every single time you open your mouth, it's about those things, what do you think, what picture are we painting for our kids and for yourself? What pictures are we painting? I'm sorry? She's not good enough, or we are all not good enough. Like the kids are not good enough, I'm not good enough a parent. And that's a story that we are writing, in a sense, right? We are focusing on what is not going well. But my guess is, once again, in our common things I've seen in my offices, there's always something going well. Doesn't matter how bad the situation is, usually it's still something that is going well. Majority of the time, actually, there are more things going well than not going well. But when you focus on what is not going well all the time, that's a story that you live out with, right? That becomes that lens. It's always almost like the analogy I give to my clients is always this, right? If I give you an orange pair of glasses, sunglasses, it's orange. If I give you, I ask you to wear it, and I ask you to look around in the room, what would you see? Everything is orange. Everything is tainted. Well, of course. Everything, if all I see is everything is not going well, then of course everything is not going well. And now the analogy, pretending there's a tree right here, okay? And I'm in the forest. There's a tree. If I stand right up against the tree, and my face, my nose is right up against the tree, all I can see is what? The tree. But if I step back, I can still see the tree, but I probably see the whole forest. The tree is the problem, what's not going well. But if I step back, I see what's not going well, but also see perhaps what's going well. But if you pick on everything, you can't see it. You see only what's not going well. The last reason is that you're communicating what is truly important to you. Whatever you fight about should be really the important stuff for you as parents, the things that you really want them to learn and to focus on. What happens is when you fight about everything? Whatever you fight about should means those are important things to you, right? What happens when you fight about everything? Everything's important. What happens when everything's important? Thank you very much. Nothing is important. Make sense? When everything's important, then nothing is important. Because to a teenager, they start to tune out. Gosh, even your partner will tune out. Right? When you complain about everything to them, they tune out. Trust me, I work with couples. I know. They are like that. We are like that. So when everything is important, nothing is important, that's when they tune out. Now, when you focus on a few things, the few things should be the really key principles. Things, especially if you are in very late of your game, setting boundaries, I really encourage you, don't try to fight about everything. Focus on a few key things that is important. I'll go back to that example that I gave you earlier, this family that I was working with. So one thing is I said, well, you know, pick your battles, okay? I said, what's important to you? What's going to be one important thing that you really want your kids to learn? And they said, respect. I want my kids to learn about respect. I said, good. That's a good thing that you, and not to lie. That's two things that they talk about, to be honest and to be respectful. So we work on that. So we start to focus on areas, battles, that talks about respect and honesty. And I said, spend all your time focusing on that, especially, you know, we'll talk more about this later, but focus your battles on those things, okay? And other areas such as cleaning up the room, I said, well, it's nice if they can clean up the room, but it might not be about respect and honesty. So do less of that, okay? And from what I heard about the daughters, they're really, really messy, right? They said they eat their food, lunch there, and they leave their, and the food is in their room for like a week. So anyway, I'm, and the guy, poor guy, is a doctor, right? So he feels really badly about it. So pick only a few battles. Pick your battles, okay? So that's important. Here's a little exercise. I want you to, maybe we won't have time to do them all. I'd like you to just come up with a list of things that you and your teenager fight about a lot. The common fight that you guys fight about. Listen down. Write down those 5, 10 things, or even 20 things that you fight with them about. Okay? Or at least make some mental notes, okay? But just quickly jot down a few words. Okay, write down in the back page, what do you guys fight about? From curfew to video games to, boyfriend, girlfriends, whatever it is. Jot them down, okay? Things that you fight about. Come up with those recurring fights. How many of you have five yet? Anybody have five things that you fight? Yeah. Do I have 10? Do anybody has 10 things that they fight with their teenagers about? 20? Okay. I'm assuming that you have done the list, okay, just because of time. Now, I'd like you to refocus on this list. I'd like you to maybe just focus on the top two things that you really are concerned about. Not just concerned, I mean the top two things that you really want them to, values that you want them to learn. Think about some of the values that you really want to pass on to your kids. It's always always good to start with what kind of values you want to pass on to your kids. There's some of the important ones. For my family, you know, I'm being a pastor before, I like acronyms. So I actually have an acronym, I can't remember everything now. It's called Fisher. Fisher of Men, right? So I have an acronym. I think these are the things that I want to pass on to my kids. So faith, integrity, salvation, honesty, excellence, and respect. That's me. That's my list. You don't have to do this list, right? So those are my list of values, those six things that I want to make sure I pass on to my kids. And as I focus on the battles, what I want to fight my kids about, those are the six things that I want to make sure I fight about. Those are what I will spend all my energy in fighting with them. Stuff that are not a part of those six things, I spend a lot less energy, which I'm going to talk about this later. Okay? So do you see what I'm getting at? So I'd like you to focus on maybe just the top couple of things that are really important to you in terms of your values. Because your values should be the thing that is guiding you in terms of what kind of battles you want to battle with your kids about. Once again, I wish you have all the energy in the world that you can battle with them all the time, but you won't. That's just reality. Even if you do, like I said, even if you have all the energy in the world, but if you fight with them about everything, then the truth is you're going to lose your relationship with them. Right? It makes sense, right? If you can have the best intention, but if you're always complaining about they're not doing this, they're not doing that, why can't they do this better? Then that's all in their mind, they see mom and dad as this complainer. That, like what you said, that I am not good enough. Right? And my guess is this is the last thing you want to communicate to them. That's exactly the opposite. It's like this, right? This is a going joke, right, in the Asian community. If your kids come home for 98% on their test, right? I mean, the first thing you tell your kids, hopefully, is not as what happened to the two, right? When I was the pastor of our church, lots of teenagers would come up to me and they would say very similar kind of thing. And I got like 98 or 97 or whatever it is. And the first things my dad and mom said to me is, "What happened to the two?" Now, it worked and it doesn't work. One parent actually challenged me and says, "But you work. This kind of method works. When I push them in this way, they are successful," which is true. Most of my the kids I worked with, they are like doctors, lawyers, the professionals. So in that sense, it worked. But the problem, so meaning that they in inside they feel this small. They feel that they are the 2%, like what you said, I'm not good enough. And you don't, you know, I'm just telling you from my own personal experience, especially among men. I'm not, because I work a lot with more men, I can't say about women, I do work with some women, but I always tell you, I would say 80% of the men that I work with, there's always a part of them that feel like I wasn't good enough. But on the outside though, they are successful people. I get doctors, I get lawyers, I get really, folks, when you look at them, they are successful. But inside, they don't. I'm not blaming the parents for everything. Obviously not, right? It's not. But it's when we focus on the not good enough stuff all the time, that's when it actually blinds us from seeing the good stuff that our kids are doing, right? Anyway, I'm sorry? That's right. They will lose their confidence. And I mean, they can push and they can do well in school. But on the inside and the way they feel about themselves, they feel this big. And it's a common thing that I've seen. this is actually related. It's fight the battles that you can win. So this is another thing that I suggested to my client. I said, you know what? Now, because it's a little bit late in the game to try to fight about everything, but always focus on the battles that you can win. Do you know what I mean by battles that you can win? Things that you can actually says, I can carry out, I can stop you, then pick on those. Focus on those, especially when they are a part of that value. The example I've given you is cleaning up the room, okay? That you have actually very little you can do about, I think. Especially when they're 16, 17, you can try to tell them, make them, and punish them, clean up the room. You can try that. Sometimes it works, but most of the time, like this family I work with, it doesn't work. Sure, take away my cell phone. Go ahead. You know, I just, because sometimes also because the stuff got piled up so much, they just gave up kind of thing, right? So on areas that you feel like battles that you cannot win, because you actually cannot enforce it, then I would say spend less energy on those. Still do something with that, right, obviously. But on battles that you know you can win, that's where you want to focus most of your energy in. I know it sounds like battles, and I know it sounds like I'm a general telling you, but this is about battling for structure. It's about battling for structure. We got to be able to communicate that, you know what, parents are in charge, right? I think that's important. It's actually helped them when they do that. It's not for our own ego. Don't get me wrong. It's not about for my own ego that I want my kids to know that I'm in charge, that you know, I'm leading them, but it's actually for the security that they need to know that. Okay, and when the way I lead, I like to think that I'm not being a dictator, that I want to listen to them, I want to negotiate, right? So to me, that's not dictatorship. But at the same time, I should be proactive as parents, that I know a little bit more than they do, right? So I can plan out things a bit more. Spend more energy in battles that you can win. Things that you will most likely have 100% control. For example, in that family that I was telling you about, sometimes they would say, well, whether they would drive them to parties or to places, that the parents have 100% control. As long as the parent doesn't drive them, they can't go. As simple as that. Right? That's, you have 100% control over, and those are things that you focus. Okay. Now, going back to this family, I don't think I gave them anything too profound, but when they kept things simple, when they work on those simple things that we talked about, actually, within not even like 2 months, they start to get better in this family. The daughter and the mother was actually connecting a lot better. The father was able to, you know, a few times able to play with the kids a bit more, and they were actually having better relationships. Okay, sure, the room's still not clean. It's still not clean, but they were able to actually gain more respect from the parents, from the kids, and the kids felt a bit more being listened to. So in that sense, when we keep things simple in that way, you pick on a few battles, they actually do a little bit better. Any questions about this? What is about picking battles or fighting the battles that you can win? Any questions? Okay. So going back to that list that you have, right, the list of things that you fight about, go back to this list and divide them into two categories. Okay? Things that list should be like things that I have little control over or no control, and then the list that things I have control over, 100% control. I would say focus on the list that you have 100% control. Things that you can actually do to carry out, to enforce, those are things that you should focus more of your energy in. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Can I move on? Yes? 2 more points? And that will leave some questions. Number 7, the most important point of them all. Enforce the consequence. Like I say, if you don't do this point, you actually don't even bother coming to this workshop. It's just a waste of your hour, really. Right? If you don't plan to enforce your consequences, boundaries are actually a waste of time, I believe. When you enforce boundary, though, you need to be firm and loving. It's this balance. Jesus showed us this balance, right? About being firm. Okay, this is the rule. You need to carry this through. But yet, I'm saying this in a loving way, gentle. I'm open for negotiation. I want to listen to you. So this firm and loving. I believe boundary setting actually doesn't need a whole lot of yelling. I think if I have to do a lot of yelling, in a way, I lose already as parents. I feel like I'm using too much of my energy, And I feel like I'm actually not getting to what I want to do. Don't get me wrong, I still yell, man, sometimes, right? But I try not to. I really do. I think that if we are more proactive, we do a lot less yelling. More yelling actually doesn't accomplish that much more. Honestly, I find it. Don't get me wrong, I still do, right? But I don't find it actually accomplish as much as I do. But when you're actually more proactive, I think you do less yelling, okay? But when you can be firm and loving, don't ever say you're going to enforce something and then you don't do it. And we talked about earlier, right? It actually makes you look bad as parents. I would rather you not to enforce anything. The part that you don't think you can actually carry through, so don't ever threaten them with things like, I'm going to do this or take away this, and then you know you can't do it. It actually makes you look pretty bad. Yeah, yes.
So how many times do you
come to them? So this is an area that I wonder, a couple of things. Is first of all, is grandmom or grandparents on board in this? And let's say if they're not, I need to first actually get them on board with it first. But let's say if I really can't get them on board for some strange reason, I can't do it, then I would be wondering, is this a battle that I can win? If this is a not battle that I can win, I have to first of all consider, is this an important battle? Does it go back to my value system that I need to pass on? Right? If it's not, then I might not spend too much energy in it. If it is, then I need to find some ways to do that. Does that make sense? For example, what can I ask for some specific details? Right. Oh, okay. Okay. And how do you carry out the consequence? What would happen? Ah, okay. What do they like other than TV? Really? Nothing? Like no video games, there's no special other things that they like and no, it's just TV? Okay. Seriously, right? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. What kind of TV do you have? Yeah. Cable TV. What can you disconnect the cable? Are they okay with that? No, they're not okay with that. So if let's say this is the thing, then maybe this is the battle that you can win, quite honestly. You don't have your people who's like your grandparents on board. I doubt that you can win, and they know that. They know grandmom and granddad's gonna be on that side. So I would say this is not bad. So do something else. For example, for me, I know my kids' weakness. Yeah, to me it's constant. Okay, kids don't listen to this, right? Okay, yeah. So close the eye there. I know each of my kids what they really like. TVs, yeah, they like TV, but I know my son really loves video games. That's his kryptonite. Right, and I know I can do 100. I have 100% control over this part. My daughter, video games, doesn't care. She needs to sleep with her stuffed animals. Yeah, whenever she doesn't follow through with things, they sleep with me that night. And I try to tell my daughter, you know, I smell sometimes, so I don't know about right. So I would tend to focus on things that I have control over. In this particular case, I need more details, I'm not sure yet, but it doesn't sound like you have enough really to win this battle. I would rather not spend energy on that one.
But then it doesn't
show them much TV. So that's it, they have, just TV. Yeah, okay. So I would really try to have a good talk with your parents. Is that your parents? So you need to do the talking. So I always believe if it's your parents, you do the talking, right? Your husband can come on board, right? But I would say have you tried talking to your parents? Were you like that growing up? Okay. Yeah, I would really try to talk to your parents, honestly, about it. Try to convince them that it's not about being strict. It's about they didn't do the homework, right? I mean, I think your parents can. I'm guessing they would appreciate about doing homework. They don't listen. But if they don't turn on the TV, let's say if they come on board and turn off the cable, right? Anyway, we can talk more in detail later. What my point is this: in principle, is in this case, I think you don't have enough people on your team. Right? I'm serious. I mean, you don't have enough people on your team right now. It's basically, I'm guessing you and maybe your husband against four of them, or whatever, how many of them, right? And you always lose, and that's not a battle that you want to. I would actually say that maybe that's not a battle. Don't fight this. At least that way, they won't be lying. You don't have to, at least that value is not being passed on. It's just about not being responsible somehow. Then maybe we need to do something else with that. So I would try to change it around a bit. But I would, if I was the person, I would want to talk to their parents to try to get them on board. Okay? Yes. Yeah, maybe. Or yeah, well, another way of thinking about it is get them to earn it. How old are your kids? Oh, you know, they actually, I don't know whether this would do work, but after a point, they can still try to earn enough points to get an Xbox. That's actually not a bad idea. But when they show responsibility, you know, right, do it. For example, with my kids, they know that's the rule, right? Same rules as yours, and they do. Let me backtrack a bit. Their rule is, actually, when they first come home, I'll actually let them have 45 minutes to relax. So actually, I said that, 45 minutes to relax, so I think that's fair. How do I know this? Because actually, I talked to them. I asked them, which one do you want to do first? To me, I don't care which one you do first, as long as you do your homework. In that way, actually, they're teaching about flexibility. They can choose, they have more of a say. So the rule is they come home at 4:30, that's when they stop watching and have snack, and then they do their work. They do their work for an hour, whether it's piano or what have you. Because when I come home, I check their work, or my wife will check the work. If they're not done, then that's when the punishment might come in, the consequence. So, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna just move on a bit because of time. Right, stick with your boundaries. Don't give up only after a few tries, okay? Boundary setting is something that it has to keep going and enforce. Stick it out. You will not be able to stick it out if you're the only one on your team. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? If you do not have enough people on your team, if you're the only one that wants to do this rule, then you probably won't have enough energy to do it. I guarantee you won't. Okay? You got to have other people on board, just like this situation, right? But when you have enough players on board, it's about sticking with it and not to give up only after a few tries. And the last point here is really important. We sort of alluded to it earlier. It's to learn how to tolerate the fact that your teams won't like you for now when you set boundaries. It's just being normal when they don't like you when you set boundaries. Gosh, that's just so normal. If anyone tried to put some boundaries around me, I don't like you either. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, why would I like you if you put some boundaries around me? Not until I learn and appreciate what those boundaries are for, right? And I'm okay with that. I'm not their best friend. I would like to have that relationships with them, yeah. But first and foremost, I'm the dad and the mom, and my job is to take care of this investment, this $166,000 investment, right? And I want to make sure that when they grow up, they have enough adult tool to survive and to strive in this adult world, right? This character, this adult skills, and those are things that I'm passing on. You know, as parents, I guarantee you one thing, you cannot help it but to pass on your legacy to your kids. You heard that before, right? You cannot help it but to pass on your stuff to your kids. That you will pass on both the good stuff and the bad stuff. Okay? We all have bad stuff that we pass on, but hopefully, you know, the good stuff too. Now, the choices we have is that we can try to pass on more of the good stuff. Those are some of the good stuff that I would like to encourage you to say. Boundaries are one of those good stuff. Yeah, they might not like you for now, and that's okay. I like to encourage you to say that, you know, that's okay. But my guess is, as you start actually younger, as you build a relationship where they see the value of the relationship, even though they don't like the rule, they don't see rule and mom and dad the same thing. My kids doesn't like always like all my rules, but I think they like me. They love me. It's just like because I love them too, right? So I think that's important to clarify between the two. Yeah, I won't have time to talk about other consequences. So I'm not going to show you this one. Well, you know what? Let me just highlight a few points. Some of the, it's a few reasons why parents have a hard time enforcing consequences. Okay? Most of us know the value of consequence, I think. Most of us know that. But a lot of times we don't do it for a few reasons. Okay? If you ever read Clough and Townsend, their book on boundaries with kids, they talked about it. Okay, I won't go through all of them just because of time. I'll emphasize on the first two. Sometimes we don't enforce it because our emotions are too dependent on the child. It's almost like I need my child to like me. Otherwise, I feel bad. I feel like I'm not a good parent. It's like what I just said earlier. Quite honestly, I don't need my kids to like me. I need my kids to love me, yes, because I want to love my kids, but I don't need them to like what I'm doing right now. Okay? So my emotion is not dependent on them. Okay? My emotion, hopefully, is dependent on my wife, where I feel love and encouraged. When I feel bad, sometimes feel guilty, sometimes punishing them, I do. Sometimes when I have to punish them, I feel guilty about it. I have a child that's actually have some serious illness. So part of me doesn't actually want to punish him. I have to be honest with you. If it wasn't about thinking about the future, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably let him get away with murder. I really would. Because I feel so bad about his illness. But because also at the same time, I believe I'm actually not loving them if I let him get away with murder. Okay? But my emotion isn't dependent on them. My emotion, quite honestly, is depending on my wife and each other. So that's why I said the first point was so important about that couple's relationship. This over-identifying with your child, that's also another reason. Sometimes when your child is feeling upset about you setting rule, we feel like, oh, that's so awful. Like, my child is feeling so bad about this. I feel like we become over-identified with them. Instead of seeing they don't like you setting rule as just that, we become so guilty, become so anxious, become so fearful. So we don't want to over-identify with that. And, the last one being worn down, sometimes we don't set good boundaries because they wore us down. Okay? So, I mean, those are some of the reasons, okay, of getting in the way. But if you want more details, you can go to their book, Clough and Townsend. It's called Boundaries with Kids. Okay? It's a pretty famous book. Last but not least, I want to finish with this point, is keep your communication channel open for renegotiation. Boundaries is always meant to be flexible. Consistent, but flexible. Be willing to listen to them and open for renegotiation at times. Because certain times there's some special events that happens, they might ask for some extra grace. I'll listen. If it's fair, I might actually let them, say, extend the curfew a bit, for example, right, for special weeks. So there's room for negotiation and renegotiation. But they got to show me that they are responsible too. So this give and take thing, right? As they show me responsibility, they carry out generally their responsibility, that I'm ready to reward them appropriately. But you probably need to see more consistency before you would do a lot of this renegotiation stuff. Okay, so it's not like that. They have to earn things. All right, I think I'm done. Any comments, questions? Can I have the lights, please? Thank you. Any questions? I know it's 9 o'clock, so you might have to pick up your kids. Any questions? Other people can leave, I guess. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, they do. Yeah. Right, so in that example, talk about the 98 first. It's not about not talking about the 2%. Of course you want them to grow and learn from their mistakes, of course. But it's about what they hear first and how much time you spend on the 98. So I would say spend a lot of time, celebrate with them about the 98, lift that part up, but then after that, they're much more ready to hear the 2%. It's like the ratio of 5 to 1. Yeah, when you hear a lot of good things, if I, let's say for example, you praise me about how I did today, right? And say, oh good, no, it's good. And then you say, oh, you know what, but this is one thing that I really like to hear more, which you didn't cover. I can accept that a lot more, right? Your kids the same thing. You are the same thing, I'm sure. If your partner or people around you always focus on the 2%, we're going to feel like, well, first of all, we don't want to talk to you anyway. If that's what you do, right? If your parents are like that, you don't want to talk to them. In fact, you will build up a lot of this 2% stuff. Yeah. Any other questions you might have? Okay, so I'm trying to understand the two questions. So it's two different questions, right? One is, am I setting bad role model if I tell them not to go on the internet too much? And then is that anything to do with enforcing? Are you talking about enforcing? Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, well, definitely. I think as we want to teach our kids things, whatever value we want to teach them, the best, you heard of this statement before? Things are better caught than taught. Things are better caught, like catch, than taught, than teach. I can say a lot to my kids, but if they see me don't live that life, you can forget about it, right? They actually watch what you do. They do. Even my kids watch. Hey, you said this. I said, oh, really? Okay. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. If we want our kids to not spend too much time in the internet, then we might have to not be distracted by electronic devices, right? So yeah, I agree 100%, that consistency.
Sometimes the life of an adult is quite different.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it's not like 50-50. It's not like I can go 1 hour, you can go 1 hour. Because our relationship with them is not symmetrical. It's not 100, like balanced. It's not 50-50. Because we are the parents, they are the kids, right? I stay up until like 2 a.m. I'm a night owl. I work till 8, right? But my kids, they have to go to bed earlier. Yeah. So that's the difference there. But yeah, at the same time, what you said is so true. We have to model those values. If on one hand I says you have to, okay, for example, my son liked to beat up his little sister, when my most brother do, right? And so I said, you know, you gotta love your sister, you gotta take care of her, right? Now, if I keep trying to teach him that, say that, but if I don't treat my wife with love, respect, and care, it doesn't work either, right? Yeah. Ma'am? Okay, so the first comment, the point I was giving was about that particular family. Because particular family, the kids do not drive. They don't have friends that can drive them. So that works for them. Okay, so that's the quick comment back to you. You have to find your own ways of what you have 100% control over. Your second question is, if I try to bring up some boundaries, my kids for a temper tantrum, then what do I do kind of thing, right? So I would, depending on what issue it is, right, I would let them throw a temper tantrum. I can't stop them anyway. I have no control over that. But I said, when you're done, let me know. We'll talk later. I would do that, right? But at the same time, without us finish talking this thing, you're not going to get this, whatever this thing is. So I'll give them lots of freedom to say when you want to talk. But when you're much more ready to talk and we're not like yelling and throwing temper tantrum, because I will tell him, you know what? You don't see me doing this right now. Right? I'm not throwing temper tantrum, so I don't expect that from you. But when you're ready to talk, we can talk. But before we finish this discussion, you're not getting whatever this thing is. Does that, yeah, okay.
Do you want to entertain one more question, or do you want to stop?
It's up to you. I should, last question, is that okay? And then we'll stop, yes. What do they stay up late to do? Okay, so, right, and then does it affect his schoolwork? Okay, yeah. Right, and when you mention this to him, it's a him, right? Yeah, when you mention this to him, that look, you know, then what does he say? That you know, it seems to affect your Yeah, most kids do not buy statistics. I mean, it's a funny thing that you mentioned that. Even my in-laws, I mean, I'm 40-somewhat years old, right? They still like cut out paper clippings and then tell us about like, oh, you know, watch out, be careful your kids. We have like crazy killers out there. Like, you know, just things that they think are statistic that they're not actually. But yours is probably much more accurate statistic, right? It does obviously impact them. So this is what I'm thinking. You might not agree with it, and that's okay. Once again, I would think, is this a battle I can win? Probably not. My guess is, what time do you actually sleep? I mean, I can actually take out the light bulb and yeah, right. I mean, first of all, that's silly, right? And even if I do, if they say I'm not sleeping, you can't do a whole lot about. That's not an area that I would spend too much time on, because I think that he will reap his own consequence on his own, to me. I mean, I would think eventually the lack of sleep will catch up to him. Yeah, he would have to pay for it somehow, perhaps not do so well in school and some other areas, yeah? So I think eventually he will reap that consequence. Sometimes things that he learned naturally without dad and mom sort of constantly, you know, coming at them would be better. What I might do, though, I would send reminders. You know how sometimes kids would say, you know what, you're always nagging after me, right? I teach parents, you know, so yeah, you know what, yeah, after, if you keep on nagging, it sounds like you're nagging then. So sometimes I say, okay, tell them once, right, once or twice, that's it, and then maybe send an email. A text, whatever it is, to, you know, yeah, seriously, you send a text as a quick reminder, and then you leave them alone for that week or something, right? And then because I believe you can't do much more anyway. If you can do more, go do more, right? But you can't do more, I would say just do that. That's the part that I know I have some. I still show that I care, but what I don't want to do is become this. I want to be careful how I'm saying. I don't want to become a nag. It's actually much worse if I become a nag, right? They will actually tune y'all and everything else. And I want to make sure I don't get to that stage. Okay? Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry to keep you a bit later, but thank you.